Kings chapter 15 and 2 Chronicles chapter 12 today. 1 Kings 15 and 2 Chronicles 12. I'm going to cautiously preface my remarks today because I have no desire to offend anyone. That's the first prefatory comment. The second prefatory comment is, if you are inclined to be offended by what I'm going to preach today, you have no idea how offensive your position is to the people that have that being forced upon them. So how's that for a start? We will never be of one mind unless we all agree with what the Bible says. We can't possibly be of one mind on things that the Bible does not say. And we can't possibly be of one mind on things where we read and we know what the Bible says and then respond with, well, I don't care. I just don't see it that way. We can't go that route. So I'm going to say this very carefully. I'm combining several questions that have commonly been asked by many, many Christians. This is a factual matter, what I'm about to say, and then we'll get into the scriptures. In every church that I've ever been in long enough to get to know the people in that church, there are people there who sincerely believe that doctors and nurses are trying to make people sick and hurt them and kill them so that they can just make money off of them. And they genuinely believe that it's some sort of witnessing for Jesus to warn people about doctors and nurses and medical people. And if you've had a bad experience with a doctor, well, I can understand that you would feel that way, I guess. And yet everybody I know has had a real bad experience with an automobile, but they just get another automobile. They don't say, oh, automobiles, they're of the devil. No, they go and get another car. Everybody I know has had a bad meal at a restaurant, but most of them try again. But in our circles, you know, we kind of have this belief that if a majority of people think something is so, that means to us it can't possibly be so. And if the majority of people see things a certain way, that means we have to see it the other way, just on principle. And the fact of the matter is, pretty much every saved person I know believes that the sun rises in the morning and sets at night. So I'm not going to take a steamroller and flatten the earth just because the majority sees it differently. Most people believe there are two genders, male and female. I'm not going against that because it's a majority opinion. We're kind of like, Jesus saves and it's a narrow road and the King James Bible is right and most people don't believe the King James Bible. Therefore, anything most people believe must be wrong. And that's just a contentious spirit is all that is. That's not a biblical stand or position. But the question today is based upon our old friend King Asa here. And the Bible says of him in 1 Kings chapter 15, starting in verse number 23. 1 Kings 15, 23. The rest of all the acts of Asa, and all his might, and all that he did, and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Okay. And everything I read about this man and his life, he was a godly king and he lived an exemplary life. It says, nevertheless, in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. And Asa slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead. All right. So Asa, good man, lived a good life, but in his old age, his feet were diseased. All right, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Now, most of you would say, well, you expect something to go wrong in your old age, but here's the parallel passage of what we just read. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse number 11. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last. Lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 40th year of his reign. Now, based upon those two verses, men like R.W. Shambach, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, and Benny Hinn, and the rest of that crowd, they have made a fortune telling people that this man died because he went to the doctors. And if he had gone to the Lord, he would not have died. And then you could make that work, except for one thing. I mean, I've got an entire book of 1 Kings, the entire book of 2 Kings, the entire book of 1 Chronicles, the entire book of 2 Chronicles, and every single king in those books died. So Asa, he didn't die because he went to a doctor. He died because people die when they get old. Now, we'll look in a minute as to why that was noted in the Bible and why that was a controversy or worth mentioning by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray before we continue. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to straighten out any wrong thinking we have about doctors and see what you have to say about them in your Word. Help us to believe what you say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, look at 2 Kings chapter 1. 2 Kings chapter 1. I put this definition in your handouts there. Let me read this. Definition of disease, because that's where we're heading today. Disease is the cause of pain or uneasiness, distemper, malady, sickness, disorder, any state of a living body in which the natural functions of the organs are interrupted or disturbed, either by defective action or action that is beyond normal, without a disruption of parts by violence, which is called a wound. The first effect of disease is uneasiness or pain, and the ultimate effect is death. Okay, so that's the dictionary definition, but it is not a Bible definition, because the dictionary definition, if you noticed here, it separates disease from injury and wounds. But look at this. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 2. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. All right, so busting your bones, in the Bible, it's called sickness. It's disease. Keep going. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. So broken in your body from a fall equals sickness, equals disease. So the Bible definition of disease is much larger than the dictionary definition of disease. Okay, now look in 2 Kings chapter 8. I'm going to have to lay a lot of foundation here before we get into this. 2 Kings chapter number 8 and verse number 7. Now remember, Asa was diseased in his feet, and he did not seek the Lord. He sought out physicians, but he did not seek the Lord. Now, I would say when I read that his failure was to not seek the Lord. That was his failure. He didn't seek the Lord. But we all know somebody who thinks his failure was that he sought to physicians. So you're going to read it based upon your experience, based upon your prejudice as you approach the scripture. So look here, verse 7. 2 Kings 8:7. And Elisha came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. And it was told him, saying, the man of God is come hither. And the king said to Hazael, take a present in thine hand, and go meet the man of God, and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover of this disease? So Hazael went to meet him, and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden. How'd he fit that in his hand? He said, take a present in your hand. 40 camels burden, and came and stood before him and said, thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, hath sent me to thee, saying, shall I recover of this disease? And Elisha said unto him, go, say unto him, thou mayest certainly recover. All right, so what did he do? He went to the prophet of the Lord. He sought the Lord in his disease, and he gets this word back from the Lord. Thou mayest certainly recover. Howbeit, the Lord hath showed me that he shall surely die. Huh? Verse 11, and he settled his countenance steadfastly until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept, showing you that preachers don't like to bring these negative messages. Verse 12, and Hazael said, why weepeth my Lord? And he answered, because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and wilt dash their children, and rip up their women with child. And Hazael said, but what? Is thy servant a dog, that he should do this great thing? See that in the Bible, a dog is a really low-down creature. And Elisha answered, the Lord hath showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria. So he departed from Elisha and came to his master, who said to him, what said Elisha to thee? And he answered, he told me that thou shouldest surely recover. Okay, that's good. Okay, so he went to the Lord instead of physicians, and he finds out that the disease is not going to kill him. Verse 15, and it came to pass on the morrow, that's a fancy way to say the next day, that Hazael took a thick cloth and dipped it in water and spread it on his face. So he killed the guy so that he died. And Hazael reigned in his stead, just like Elisha said he would. All right, so you might get over the leukemia, and the guy next in line for your job might suffocate you to death. I mean, there's lots of ways to die, but we are going to die. And this king, he sought the Lord and died, and Asa didn't seek the Lord and died. And all the other kings, well, there's no reference to whether they sought the Lord or didn't seek the Lord, but we do know they died. Now, let me pause for a minute so I can kind of work a little bit of this in as we go along. The reason that I get very unhappy when I go to a doctor and I don't get well is because I believe that I'm entitled to get well. And somehow if the doctor didn't get me well, that means the doctor failed because I'm entitled to get well. I tried this medicine, I tried these smelly candles, I rubbed some oil on my head, I took some prescription drugs. In fact, I took everything that the people in the church gave me, I boiled it in a big pot, and I drank it. 4 days later when I woke up, I was still sick, and now I don't trust natural medicine, unnatural medicine, pharmaceuticals, tree roots, none of it. Because it was supposed to make me well, and I didn't get well. These are the same people, by the way, these are the same people that are angry with God and angry with preachers because they went to church twice. And everything in their life didn't get fixed in those two visits to the church. There are 8 billion people on this earth. There's probably about 500,000 things that you could catch that would kill you. And there isn't any possible way they can all be diagnosed or treated. And God can still keep his word. What's his word? It is appointed unto men once to die. Doctors aren't out to kill you. Death is out to kill you. Doctors aren't out to make you sick. Your sin is going to make you sick. And it's going to do it. So let me tell you about the world that you live in right now. In the Dark Ages, when I was in school, we learned to admire and make heroes of people who succeeded so that you would aspire to do your best and be successful like them. Well, today, part of the deliberate design to destroy our nations is to teach people about the faults and failures and the bad people, so that instead of aspiring to be one of those people who did something great, you aspire to destroy the very thing that makes your life so comfortable and safe and so forth. And so today we do not celebrate the hundreds and thousands of law enforcement officers who do a really great job. No, we magnify to no end the few who do things very, very wrong. We do not magnify and celebrate the vast majority of school teachers, ministers, fathers, mothers who do everything right and build a great nation for you to live in. No, we magnify the one man who beat his wife, the one woman who drugged her kids, the one school teacher who molested a child. And if you do that for 30 or 40 years, you can create a mentality nationwide that the whole thing stinks and needs to be destroyed. Now, you know something? Almost everybody that walks into and out of a doctor's office, almost everybody every day gets help. Almost everybody that has an operation ends up better for it. If you're not one of them, truly, I'm sorry. In fact, I can have empathy for you because I had surgery on my shoulder and it's worse than it was before. Sometimes you might go to the doctor and the doctor says, I don't know what's wrong with you. Here, take this medicine. I'm not taking medicine if you don't even know what I have. I'm not your guinea pig. You'll have to pay me if you want me to be part of your experiment, but I'm not paying you. But if I go to a doctor, I pray, and I say, Lord, help this man find out what's wrong with me. And if he can't find out what's wrong with me, help me to just get through it. I don't expect that man or that woman to know what cannot be known. I don't know. I might have COVID-17 and COVID-19, and they might combine to make COVID-26. I could be the very start of the very next planned economic collapse. All right, let's get back to the Bible. So one man, he sought the Lord. He died anyway. One man didn't seek the Lord, died anyway. 2 Chronicles 21. Disease can be a judgment of God. Disease can be a judgment of God. 2 Chronicles 21, verse number 14. You better hope God doesn't come at you with this one. Verse 14, behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people, and thy children, and thy wives, and all thy goods, and thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness, day by day. You know, the only thing worse than being sick is being sick in one of those ways that you really don't want to talk about it. What's the matter with you? Well, I'm just really sick. Well, what's wrong? I'm just sick. Don't press it. Just leave it there. Verse 18. And after all this, the Lord smote him and his bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in the process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness. So he died of sore disease. Yeah, I guess. Now, I want you to see this phrase here in the Bible. I'm not trying to be mean. Verse 18, an incurable disease. Now, that's what we're all going to get one day. Okay? And you hope that it's not at 25. You hope it's not at 35. You hope it's not at 50. If you're 90, you hope it's not at 90. But one day, your body is going to take in something, or something is going to happen to your body, and there won't be any cure. Faith healers and health food kind of people. And why are they phonies? Because if what you're saying is true, there would be people walking around who are 140 years old. And if eating this or drinking this or not seeing a doctor or not letting a nurse take your pulse or any of that stuff is going to keep you from getting sick, keep you from dying, then the people who go to the, you know, the yoga Christian health food store and get their healing Christian stones with a Bible verse on them would be in good shape at 130 years old. I mean, at some point, what you're saying about health is going to stop being effective. It's going to prove you to be a liar, no matter what method you use to stay well. Okay, can we agree with that? All right, well, look in Job next, chapter 30. Job chapter 30. Your disease might be an attack of Satan. Job chapter 30. And verse number 18. Let's start in verse 17. Job 30, verse 17. My bones are pierced in me in the night season, and my sinews take no rest. Okay, so his bones ache with stabbing pains, and his joints, they're disintegrating. All of his joints hurt. Verse 18. By the great force of my disease is my garment changed. Okay, remember Job, he had those sores head to toe, and he had to scrape himself in the daytime. And at night, his sores would stick to his clothes. His clothes would stick to his sores. It bindeth me about as the collar of my coat. So he had trouble breathing. He hath cast me into the mire, and I am become like dust and ashes. Okay. Do you know who did that to Job? Satan did. Satan did. And you know what Job did to deserve that? Nothing. Read chapters 1, chapter 2 of Job. Satan said, if that guy's such a godly man, I want to prove to you, God, that he doesn't love you. He just appreciates what you do for him. God said, you're wrong. And the devil did that to Job. Job kept on praising the Lord and trusting God. But my point is, he was diseased from the devil. All right, Psalm 38. Psalm 38 and verse 5. And we won't do this, but if you read the whole chapter here, it's horrible. It's horrible. Verse 5, Psalm 38, verse 5, my wounds stink. Verse 7, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. Verse 8, I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Okay, and what happened to this guy? Verse 4, For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. This man got a disease that he got from sinning. How about that? Look at Psalm 41. Let's turn a page. Psalm 41, verse number 8. An evil disease, saith they, cleaveth fast unto him, and now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. And why does he have this disease? Verse number 4. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. So there are three reasons why people in the Old Testament had diseases. God judging them, Satan attacking them, and sin. Did you know that I find two of those in the New Testament epistles? Satan attacking and sin. I gave you a couple of references in your notes there. And that means if you're a Christian and you got a thorn in your flesh, or you're a Christian and a tree falls on your head or something like that that hurts, God is not the one trying to hurt you. But you cannot undo all the sin that's in the world. You can't undo all the sin that's in your life. And you can't undo all the things that you've done in sowing and reaping and all that stuff. So, let me show you the verses here that the charismatics and the faith healers wrest out of their context to the destruction of their hearers and the enriching of their own bank accounts. Exodus 15. Exodus 15. And verse number 26. Exodus 15, 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know how many people have claimed that verse and then nothing came of it? Millions of New Testament Christians. You know why? Because God is not speaking in Exodus 15 to New Testament Christians. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7. And verse number 12. Deuteronomy 7, verse 12. Wherefore, it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments, and keep, and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. Okay? God made no covenant with me, and no covenant with my fathers, so he's not talking to me. He's not talking to Christians. Verse number 15, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Now, isn't that a great verse? If you want to put up a tent and have a healing meeting, or you want to put up a big mega church and have a big healing meeting, there's a great verse, and people, they'll fall for it all day long. You know why? Because they want to get well. Because they want to feel better. Because if you promise that God will heal their bodies, they won't even take the time to find out if you're lying or not. They'll just grasp at any hope. And I'm not criticizing the people either. If you hurt, man, you want help, don't you? If you're struggling, you're afflicted in your body, you'll grasp at anything. These crooked, lying, ungodly men who know that they can't heal anybody and have never healed anybody are preying upon people's pain and distress and taking verses like that that have nothing to do with the Christian and preaching them in their churches. And that's a fact. You say, well, you know, I'm going to claim that verse. You can't claim that verse unless you're going to keep all of God's statutes. And you've got a football made out of pig's hide. You got clothes that's made of mixed fabric. And you don't grow your own food like God told you to. And you don't have a railing on the roof of your house like God said. You don't even know God's commandments. You don't even know his statutes. People, they reach past 500 commandments and they grab a promise and they try to sneak it out before God can see them. You know, it doesn't work that way. You can't do that unless you're a charismatic preacher. And then, you know, pass the plate, collect the money. You know. Deuteronomy 28. You know, after this COVID thing hit the world, where were these faith healers? I mean, no faith healer should ever show his face again after letting this thing come and go and not going into the hospitals and the nursing homes and healing all those people. If you're a faith healer, wherever they're testing, you ought to just be standing in that line and just go from car to car to car, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed. And nobody would test positive in that whole city. And they'd say, man, there's a whole city where nobody tested positive for the virus. What's going on there? Oh, well, we got Benny Hinn over there. They know they're fakers. The healers themselves, they know they're fakers. You know what they were doing during that time? They were quarantining. They were wearing masks. They were staying home until it was all over. I remember Oral Roberts one time. His wife fell. She broke her hip. Did he heal her? No. He sent out a prayer request. Who would ever give that guy even $5? Healing ministry. All right, Deuteronomy 28, verse number 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. There's his name. Tell your next Jehovah's Witness friend that's God's name, the Lord thy God. 59, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee, until thou be destroyed. So he says, I'll hit you with the plagues that you know and the plagues that you never heard of because you don't obey my commandments. All right, Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Well, let's not go there. That's just a side note because it says pretty much the same thing. We don't need to repeat. Come to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. So here's what was supposed to happen. God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He put them in the land of promise. He set up commandments and laws that would separate them from the people, separate the people from them. There would be a difference, a visible difference. And as they obeyed God, they would live like Moses lived, 120 years, eyesight not dim, natural force not abated, and the rest of the world would look at them and look on the children of Israel, and they'd say, what do you have that we don't have? Because you don't have any of our diseases or any of our sicknesses. And they would be able to say, we have the Lord thy God, and he keeps us well because we obey him. You know what people do who want to be well, but they don't want to obey God? They take 27 chapters of Leviticus, they throw away 26 and a half chapters of them, and then they say, if you don't eat shrimp, you don't eat catfish, you don't eat pork, then you'll be in perfect health. You can't do that. The dietary law, that's just one chapter in three books of laws, and they had to keep them all to be in good health. Bad health doesn't come from a shrimp. So anyway, they had disobeyed so long in Israel that it became the duty of the pastor to look after and minister to the sick people. That's pretty bad in a nation that wasn't supposed to have any sicknesses. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. Okay, so way back then, hundreds of years before Christ, God is condemning the ministers for feeding off the people instead of feeding the people. Verse 4, the diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd. Now listen to this. So under the law, the nation of Israel didn't go to doctors when they were sick. They were supposed to go to the preachers when they were sick, because they were sick because they were not obeying God. And God condemned the preachers because they left the people sick, because they wouldn't minister the word of God to them. They just took money from them and meals from them and lived like the devil while the people were in a very, very bad way. Now, I know I'm talking to people in a church, and you know the Bible, so you know where I'm going here. There's nothing like this from Romans 1:1 through the end of the book of Jude in the New Testament. There's not one word in anything written to Christians about being healthy to prove that you obey the Scriptures. Nothing in the New Testament epistles about not being sick and not being diseased so that the world can see that you're trusting God, you're obeying God. This is strictly a matter of God's visible testimony through his visible people, the nation of Israel. This is not church material. And I challenge you to find it anywhere in the Scriptures written for the church. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, where is it? Where is it in Thessalonians? In fact, let me just, for the sake of time, go through some of these in a hurry here. Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. I'm going to try and go quickly. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 17. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. If you saw Paul and Paul took his shirt off, you would see that his back was torn to shreds. Why didn't that whip hit him, and the flesh just closed right up instantly. Wasn't he obeying God? Wasn't he right with the Lord? You know he was. Sure he was. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 7, Paul again here. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul went three times and asked God to help him with something that was wrecking his flesh. And God said, No, you don't need to get healed. You need to lean on me. You don't need to feel better. You need more grace. That's not anything like what we read in the Old Testament. Look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 27. Here's a man named Epaphroditus. He's been serving God day and night, signing up for four jobs in the church while other people don't sign up for a single one. And the Bible says in verse 26, Philippians 2, 26, For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Okay, so he felt bad that people felt bad that he was sick. He wished they didn't even know. 27, For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. All right, so there's a guy who's serving God, and he's so sick, he's about to die. How about 2 Timothy chapter 4? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 20. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. And the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul write to Timothy and say, Use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine oft infirmities. 1 Timothy 5:23. So in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were rebuked and called sinners for being sick, because it meant they were not obeying God. And in the New Testament, God holds up five choice servants who had devoted their whole life to him and said, And look at these guys. They're sick and they're infirmed, they're afflicted. One of them is almost dead. One of them prayed to me again and again and again, asking me to heal him, and I just told him to stop whining. Now, you got to be able to see the difference there. It's a big difference. Jesus healed diseases. Matthew 4:23-24, Matthew 9:35, Matthew 14:35. Mark 1, verse 32 to 34, Luke 4, verse 40, Luke 6, 17, Jesus healed diseases. Well, thank God. He gave his disciples like power in their ministry to Israel. Matthew 10, 1, Luke 9, 1, and Paul, he was given this gift. He could heal diseases. Acts 19, verse 12, Acts 28, verse 9, So why didn't Paul heal Trophimus? Why didn't Paul heal Timothy? Why didn't Paul heal Epaphroditus? Very simple. The signs of an apostle are these: healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues, the working of divers miracles. The Jews require a sign, and the signs were in effect until the New Testament scriptures were available. And by the time those churches had the words of the Holy Spirit in writing to guide them, even Paul can't heal. He can't heal his best friend Timothy. And so, you know what you have? You have Jesus Christ, the Messiah, proving he's Israel's Messiah by healing disease. You have the disciples sent out by Jesus, proving they have his authority by healing diseases. And Paul, one born out of due time, he gets in on the tail end of that thing. But by the time we move from proving that Jesus Christ is Jesus Messiah to the building of the New Testament church, God is saying, you need grace, you need comfort, you need faith. I'm not making you well. I'm not healing you. Here's my comforter. You're going to need him. You know, because he says, because you're not part of an earthly kingdom. You're on your way. You're already on your way to heaven. And the sooner you get there, the happier you're going to be. Amen. And I don't want to hear that, because I want to be in perfect health. I want to be Moses and able to look at age 120 as far as I could see when I was 20. And I want to be as strong at the age 115 as I was at the age 15. But guess what? I know it's not happening. It's not going to happen. John chapter 6. You say, oh, I wish I had the power to heal. I wish the Lord would heal me whenever I was sick. I wish the people in our church, man, I wish whenever we ask God that he would make them well. Okay, but let me show you how this worked out. John chapter 6, verse number 2. And this is speaking of Jesus. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Okay, who is it that's following him? Great multitudes. Why are they following him? He could heal diseases. As soon as he took nails in his hands and nails in his feet and stopped healing diseases, where now is this great multitude? They're gone. When he appeared to the believers after his resurrection, they numbered 500. When the ones that wanted to follow him gathered together in an upper room, they numbered 120. You know what that means? Healing diseases doesn't make believers out of anyone. You know what that means? I mean, getting healed doesn't make you trust the Lord. It makes you want him around when you're sick so he can make you feel better. And if getting healed equaled getting saved, you would have a nationwide revival. You would have had one in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, just based off of those phony healers going around, building these million-dollar empires. You know what people did? They trusted Kenneth Hagin and not Christ. They trusted Kenneth Copeland and not Christ. They trusted Benny Hinn, not Christ. They trusted Oral Roberts, not Christ. They trusted the healer, not the Savior. What does the Lord give the New Testament church? Jesus came and made himself a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53. He gave us a comforter to abide with us. You know, I don't like this topic any more than you do. You know why you need a comforter? Because things are going to hurt. If there were no physical pain, no emotional pain, no mental pain in the Christian life, you wouldn't need a comforter. And if you weren't going to have physical pain, emotional pain, and mental pain every now and then, the comforter wouldn't abide with you. He would come when you were hurting, but no, he just sticks around. I mean, why go back and forth continually when something's going to happen every single day? I don't like that. Do you like that? I don't like that. I just want to name it, claim it, and be healed. Put your hand on the radio for a point of contact. Lay your hands on the TV screen for that point of contact. Send in your seed faith gift. Get healed. not real. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It seems like I've kind of got away from the question or the topic, but not really. I'll be circling back around here in a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us by taking away all our tribulation. I wish it said that. I'm not finding fault with the Bible. I'm just saying my life would be a lot smoother if God just took away all my tribulations. But here's what he said: who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves, look, not were, are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. So here's one of the great advantages of being part of a real Christian church. When you are trying to learn how to handle your newly diagnosed disease, we can bring someone into your life who has had that same disease for years and is a victorious Christian, so that they can minister the comfort that they received from the Lord, and they can minister it to you. You know who's the best help in the church for the widow or the widower or the man who's lost a child or the woman who's seen her precious little girl go out into the world? The person who's grieving over the very same circumstances. See, the Lord, he didn't write the New Testament epistles and say, obey me and there will be no thorns in your field. There'll be no enemy lift a spear against you. One of you will chase a thousand. No, that is all nation of Israel stuff there. You know what he told us? Go tell that person who's hurting how God gets you through your hurt. And they'll say, I never even knew this happened to you. And you know why they never knew it happened to you? Because God gave you so much comfort and so much grace and so much power that nobody even knew that you were suffering what they're suffering with. Now, I'd rather be healed. I'd rather God take all my emotional wounds out of my heart, take all my mental wounds out of my memory, take all my physical wounds out of my body, all the aches and pains gone. I'd like that, but I have no scripture by which to even ask for that. The Lord said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll use your weakness if you'll use your ability to minister to that person who's hurting, to minister to that person who's hurting. That is New Testament Christianity. All right, let's come back to where we started, talking about doctors and medical people. Let's look at what Jesus said in Matthew 9. The, Does anybody here believe Jesus? You think you believe what he says? Matthew 9. And do not say what I know some of you are going to say when I read these verses, because it'll just sting a little bit more when I read the next verses. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 12. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Why would Jesus put in the Bible that if you're sick, you need a physician? If it was a wrong thing or a bad thing to go to a physician. Mark chapter 2, verse number 17. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So you say, well, he's just illustrating how lost people need a Savior. Well, I understand that. But why would he say something that could so easily mislead you if he thought that what he said was misleading? I don't think Jesus has ever said anything misleading. He said, if you're sick, you need a physician. You're the one who needs a physician. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 31. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. All right. In every church, there are two or three people that when you show them these verses, here's what they're going to say. They're going to say, well, medicine back then was different from medicine now. Medicine back then was all natural and herbal, and you don't know that. You don't know that. You know what I'm convinced of? If not Cain and Abel, their kids, it couldn't have been 30 years after the fall of man until people figured out what would get them high. I mean, somebody had to be the first person to stick a leaf up their nose and sniff to see what it would do, right? Somebody had to be the first one to say, let's set this on fire and inhale the smoke and see what that does, right? And I mean, as soon as man invented glue, some kid put it in a paper bag so he could sniff it, so let's take that argument that physicians back then didn't use the kind of drugs and stuff that they use now. Okay, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And verse 25. Mark 5:25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Guess what? Whatever doctors used back then, they couldn't cure everybody. They didn't know how to treat everybody, and some people got worse instead of better for going to a doctor. So you can't make an argument that doctors were different back then. Okay. Now, somebody's going to say, oh, these doctors, they think they know everything. Well, I've never met a doctor who thinks he knows everything. And then they say, well, people today, they're making drugs out of stuff they shouldn't make drugs out of. Or, and as far as we know, there are 104 elements. Everything you can see and everything that you can't see is made out of those 104 different combinations of elements. If somebody can figure out a way for me to swallow one pill instead of searching through the woods and digging up a root and boiling it for 14 hours and scraping just the right amount of foam off the top so I don't die of the poison, and I can boil it down to just the exact amount that I need for my toothache, give me a pill, man. You know what's in that thing? Well, I don't know what's in the pill, but I don't even know what was in my breakfast. You know what's in a McNugget? I'm telling you that unless you devoted your life to growing your own food out of soil that had never been touched until you bought the land, you are eating chemicals. You're drinking chemicals. There was, I heard about one Christian man, he always going around telling people, if you eat foods out of plastic containers and drink beverages out of plastic containers, you're going to get cancer and die. And so he never ate anything out of a plastic container. He never drank anything out of a plastic container. And at 62, he got cancer and died. Why? Well, there's some common denominators. And this is what we know. Everybody who drinks water dies. And everybody who eats food dies. And everybody who breathes air dies. Okay? So, plastic or no plastic, we're all going to end up the same. Some people genuinely believe doctors are inherently evil and that lawyers are inherently evil. And another group of people believe that preachers are inherently evil. And there are some evil doctors, there are some evil lawyers, and some evil preachers. But do you know what I noticed? Everybody who says, oh, these lawyers, man, they're all evil. As soon as they need help, now they're saying, do you know a good lawyer? Look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4, verse 14. 4:14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So there is an MD, a medical doctor, and he's beloved of the Apostle Paul. You couldn't scripturally have an inherent prejudice against doctors because it wouldn't be scriptural. Look at Titus. Titus chapter 3, verse number 13. Titus 3:13. Bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. All right, so you know who helped Paul in his ministry? A doctor and a lawyer. So we can't say they're all bad. So here's what people say. I don't understand why these doctors have to charge so much. I think I can help you there. You can be trained to serve burgers for 3 KD an hour, and that training should take about 3 days, and you'll be an expert. And I'm not being critical here. You can be trained to pour concrete into forms to make foundations for houses for maybe 6 KD an hour, and you can learn that in a couple of days. Do you want to go see somebody that watched an online video about how to be a doctor? Or do you want to go see somebody that spent 8 years of their life learning how to interpret your explanation of what hurts and why it hurts and owes a school $500,000, the equipment. Think about the equipment. You know, I need an MRI. Anybody want to guess what that MRI costs, that machine? I need an X-ray. Anybody want to guess what the X-ray machine costs? You want to guess what it costs to have a building that has all those machines in it? More money than you'll ever see in your life. I want to walk in there. I want the doctor to go over all the tests. I want to get the tests today, and I want the answer today. Well, why is he charging me so much? Well, you buy your own MRI machine. Do your own CAT scan. There's a lot of CATs in Kuwait. You can use them. Why do doctors charge so much? Because they know you're going to sue them. In America, anyway. I don't know if you can do that here. Maybe. You know what? Do you know what doctors pay for malpractice insurance? I heard about from a doctor. He says everything a doctor makes from January to April goes to malpractice insurance. And everything they make from May to June goes to their student loan debt. And what they make the next 2 months goes for their facilities and their workers and their taxes. So what they make 4 months out of a year is what they bring home. And the other 8 months out of the year is what it costs them to go to work as a doctor. That's why they charge so much. All right, then, so why do my drugs cost so much? Well, for one, whatever your opinion of doctors is, when you think you're having a heart attack, you don't light a scented candle. And when all of a sudden one side of your face starts to droop and you can't move your arm, and you're not going to say, hurry, hurry, get the lavender oil, put some tea tree oil right here. Right behind my ear. Oh, you know what you do? You call a doctor. And the doctor says, you got an irregular heartbeat. I want you to take this pill. And you know what? You do not want that pill to be developed by a high school dropout who makes minimum wage. You want that guy to have a massive student loan debt. And you want him to be making so much money that he doesn't quit and go work on computers or something instead. You also want drugs that have been well researched, drugs that have most likely killed tens of thousands of people in Africa and Southeast Asia before you took them. Look, when they run those ads on TV, here's the guy, you know, he's got the smile on his face, he's dancing through the forest, he stops and he says, I took the purple pill and look what it did for me. And at the end of the ad, here's a guy with a disclaimer saying, it may cause your face to fall off, it may cause liver damage, it may cause kidney damage, it may cause your bowels to fall out, it may cause death. You know how they know that? Because they did that to somebody. That's how they know that. Here, swallow two of these. What are they? Oh, well, we'll let you come to America. Oh, okay. And then the guy, he's got a stopwatch and he's got a clipboard and eyes melted in 35 seconds. Next, bring half a dose this time. Would you like to come to America? I'm not kidding. How do you think they test those things? On guinea pigs? I don't think so. So there's training, there's research, there's test studies. You know how hard it is to build a church building? Try building a gigantic factory. Then try building a gigantic factory that's hopefully sterile. Then try building a gigantic factory that is producing chemicals that, if they're mixed a little bit wrong, could kill you and everybody in that county. And you don't get to make them in another country. You got to make them right there in your own country. And that means you have to clean up the stuff. You can't just dump it in the river. That's expensive, very expensive. And then when you get in line at the drugstore, the six people in front of you, they're not paying for theirs. They get theirs for free. So that means you got to pay for your medicine and the medicines going to those other six people. This is how it works in America. You know, because you're privileged and they're underprivileged. It's called socialism. We've got it in America, and it is thriving. So the drugs cost what they cost because they're a little more complicated to produce than a Happy Meal. All right, and again, what's really twisted the thinking of people today is the constant harping on the failures. You know, another cop shot another innocent person. Okay, well, that is a terrible thing. But a couple of million cops have never shot anybody and probably never will. School teacher seduced one of her students. That's a horrible thing. There are millions of teachers who never will. A preacher ran off with some money. Millions of them never do. They never do. I knew a doctor one time and he hurt somebody. That's an awful thing. And I would say if you could sit down face to face with every doctor that ever hurt somebody, you wouldn't find but a handful who weren't broken-hearted about it. If you're a health food person, Romans 14 says, if you are, help yourself. Eat what you want. Or if you're eat whatever you want and trust that God's going to cure you of diabetes even when your blood is the color of Pepsi, help yourself. The Bible just says for you to be perfectly persuaded in your own mind, not to devote yourself trying to persuade others in their minds. Okay? Vitamins? No vitamins. Health food? No health food. Chemicals? No chemicals. Doctors? No doctors. Do what you think is best. But you're not going to find a cure for sick, and you're not going to find a cure for old, and you're not going to find a cure for dying. So just lace up your boots, pick up your chin, put a smile on your face, and enjoy life as much as you can for as long as you can. Because the Bible says it's like a vapor, and it's going to be gone pretty quick. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us a comforter so that when we do go through troubles and tribulations and pains and other kinds of things in our life that cause us pain, Lord, we just are grateful that we have the comfort of God. Lord, help us to be a comfort to others and let them know how you comforted us. And Father, we pray that you'll protect us from all the false teachings concerning healers and our faith being a part of that and all the lies that go on in some churches. Lord, help us to know your truth, to believe what you say in your Bible, to rightly divide the word of truth so that we don't fall prey to false teachers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.